Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You say that, and it is mid to late May in Arizona, a time of the year when a lot of people have already nursing their first sunburn, Pamela.
Absolutely.
They've been in the pool over the weekend or something, right? No. In northern Arizona, eastern Arizona, up in the hills, it's snowing.
It's very rare for May to get snow anywhere in the state.
Yeah, but that's exactly what's happening. I mean, in fact, Snowbowl in Flagstaff, they just closed down this past weekend. They were open up until last weekend.
They screwed that deal up. They should have stayed open a little longer. I'm looking at a live video right now of it snowing in Alpine. So think eastern Arizona near the New Mexico border. Flagstaff, right now. Can I do the weather in Flagstaff?
Okay.
Right now in Flagstaff, it's 39 degrees. Oh. They've had some snow, a little bit of rain today because it's above 30, but we're expecting more snow this evening when the temperature drops to an overnight low of 31!
In May.
Late May.
What is going on out there?
All hell's breaking loose. Cats and dogs living together. It's pandemonium.
You know, we know that a lot of folks that are listening to us right now, maybe this is their first May in the Valley of the Sun. We know so many have moved from California here. I just want to warn you, it's not typically like this in May.
No, this is abnormal.
This is what it's like earlier in the year.
We're looking at temperatures that we normally see maybe in February, March, except we're in late May now, which we're around 20 degrees below normal. And on Wednesday, we're looking to be pretty similar with a high of 74.
20 degrees below normal.
This is. Can we just acknowledge this is a little bit different? It is a little bit weird. And it's not just Arizona. California's feeling a little bit as well. I just pulled it up right now. Mammoth Lakes or Mammoth Mountain is a very popular ski and snowboarding area. Think Central California, kind of middle of the state, halfway up it right now. Pamela, it's snowing. It shouldn't surprise you. They're looking at a daytime high this week in the 40s and overnight lows at 24. I got one report that they got 18 inches of snow and said that they will still be open for skiing and snowboarding. Mammoth Lakes, get ready, until sometime in late July.
Like, you could go snowboarding on the 4th of July. Is that what they're saying?
They're guaranteeing snowboarding on the 4th of July.
I mean, like, even think about...
Guaranteeing!
Think about, you know, Memorial Day weekend. That's usually like the kickoff to summer, right?
Barbecues and
absolutely.
SPF
you can wear
panties.
White pants. And,
oh, thank God.
You know,
I've been waiting
what I'm
to get the white
about.
Pants out.
Exactly.
Yes.
But that is, it's like the unofficial start to the summer season. And you're telling me.
And you're saying.
That you could go snowboarding in California. And chances are, like, Flagstaff and Snowbowl probably could have eked it out another week even. That's crazy.
So I was in California over the weekend, and this only dawned on me, and I didn't know we were talking about it, so I went and looked it up. But it kind of went in one ear and out the other. I wasn't paying full attention. I'll acknowledge this. But I had a friend who said on Friday night, he goes, oh, yeah, I'm going up to our cabin up in, North Central California, Cascade Mountains. And he said, but I'm having trouble finding a route to get there. And I'm thinking, what, you got a construction, you know, manure spreader jackknifed on a freeway somewhere? And he's like, oh, no, all the roads are closed because of snow and ice. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, people having trouble getting around in central/northern California because of the snow and ice in the mountain passes.
See, this is the time of year where when I exercise Bob the dog the afternoon,
sure,
I'm usually having to exercise him in the pool. Because the sidewalks, the roads are too hot for his paws. You can't walk
him in
the heat.
They make little doggy mittens.
And then
mittens.
They just shake their legs as they walk, and it's super funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a swimming pool, so it becomes like, you know, Bob's pool in the summer, and we exercise him in the pool in the afternoon. I can still run him outside. I can still walk him outside.
He might need a little vest instead.
Which
make a little
we never
knit vest
do
for the dog.
In May, last night, we went out to dinner. And we sat outside. Like, I am getting as much of this as possible. I'm soaking it in. I had my coffee out on the back porch yesterday morning. We had dinner outside last night. Because I know that these temperatures, they're not going to last. They're not going to last forever. But we hear from the National Weather Service, they're going to last. lasts for a little bit longer.
Oh, really?
Take a listen to this.
The pattern continues to favor a large area of low pressure over the west, so that will keep hundreds at bay for the time being.
Hundreds at bay for the time being. How about this?
I'm ready.
Historically, there is just a 2% chance of having a high temperature below 80 degrees this late in May. 2%.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Today and Wednesday? I think tomorrow it's even kind of a toss-up. It might be below 80. But there's typically a 2% chance. It's like a high of 75 on Wednesday, about 75 today.
I think we need to be clear. We are in no way complaining.
No!
Right? Because unlike Game of Thrones, we stand right here going, summer is coming. Summer is coming. It will be here. But there is no doubt, and it just can't be anecdotal at this point, Pamela, that it seems like weather patterns are changing in some way, shape, or form. The dry times are now wet. The hot times are cool. The cool times are hot. It just feels like it's changing.
Well, we go through this, and it's not the first time we've gone through this. We've had these kinds of temperatures before, but we got to go back a hot minute for it.
Back in 2008 was the last time we've gone later into the year with cooler temperatures. We had a high of 72 degrees on May 23rd and May 24th.
Oh, remember 2008? It was a great year.
But, you know, this is the time, and those of you that are new here, take advantage of this.
Yeah.
Seriously, put on the hiking boots, get your comfortable shoes on, go for a walk around the neighborhood, do those things now. Take advantage of it, because honestly, it's not out of the question that 2 weeks from now, we could be talking about, dear God, it's like living on the surface of the sun.
Oh, it's coming.
It is coming.
It happens every year. That's why we're just enjoying this right now.
We are taking it in.
And I'm probably going to be taking a couple of vacation days to go snowboarding in July.
How epic is that? That is not exaggerated. So Heavenly is the other one that I know. I've been to both of them, Mammoth and Heavenly. Heavenly is up at Lake Tahoe area. Mammoth is up in the middle of nowhere. But they're both saying they have a high level of confidence. They have enough snow on the ground. The snow pack, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm using the right terminology for you skiers and snowboarders,
yeah.
The base. That they will be skiing and snowboarding well into July, possibly all the way through July. What if you got to August? What if you could snowboard in August? What world do
it's
we live in?
It's going to be slushy. I mean, okay. It's not going to be like great conditions, but just to say you've done it, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Fourth of July snowboarding party. There's something you don't hear every day.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Sounds pretty darn awesome. So last night was a pretty big night in the TV world. A lot of people glued to their television as Game of Thrones, pretty epic HBO show, finally came to an end. Although it did, if I understand it correctly, Super Producer Stevie Z is more in touch with than I am, kind of set itself up maybe for some spinoffs. You know, the end of the show, you had some of the major characters kind of going in their own direction, and you're like, I wonder where they're going. But we did have a finale. There was blood, okay? There will be blood. There was blood. Maybe a surprise for some people, and a lot of folks outraged. Outraged, I tell you, at the end of this show. We'll dig into that. And what can you do with your outrage?
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
All right. No spoiler alert, right? We will not give away how Game of Thrones ended. We will not tell you the finale.
No, let's clarify that. You won't
tell them.
I don't even know how it ended.
Fair
I never
enough.
Watched it, so I can't spoil it for you. But Bruce has agreed not to spoil it
Choosing
for
not
you.
To.
Choosing not. Well, thank you so much.
Although, if you're a real fan...
Hi, real fan?
No, I'm thinking about it. Stevie Z and I have watched every episode, some more than once. If you're a real fan, and it's now Monday at 11 o'clock, and you haven't gotten around to watching the finale, are you really a fan at this point?
You might be able to say that tomorrow. I mean, like, things happened last night. If you don't get caught up today, you're in the emergency room, possibly.
You're unconscious. Is that a good...
You know, I just found
alien
out...
Alien abduction, possibly?
I just found out that the finale of American Idol was last night.
Yeah.
Oh. Had no clue.
Nor did anyone else.
I didn't even know the show was still on.
I think it came back.
Oh.
I think it died
Yay!
And came back.
So we are waiting for, and keep in mind, we're going to get like the ratings numbers, they call overnights, and they will come out in a little bit, probably not in time for this discussion, Pamela, about how many people watch. But we do know kind of how it was trending, if you will. The numbers of people watching Game of Thrones on every single Sunday was in the 40 million range.
Well, you say that, But like last episode, last Sunday, so a week ago Sunday, they have the numbers for that. It was 18.5 million. When you get into that 40 kind of, that's where it takes a little while to get those numbers, because those numbers are including all the downloads. Those are the DVRs. Those are the playbacks. Those are like the rewatches.
Streaming. Yeah.
Yeah. So because that number is not going to come out for a while.
Because still, as much of a, you know, must watch TV as Sunday night was for Game of Thrones, we still know that no matter how big your TV show is, no matter how popular it is, that people watch TV fundamentally different.
And that the way they've watched TV has changed over the duration of the entire series.
Just in the 8 years since the series came out. So Game of Thrones kicked off in 2011. And in 2011, think about all the TV shows out there, the networks, whatever streaming services, if you will, that were available. And then you think about today, and the number is staggering as to how many more options you have.
So in 2011,
yep,
we're talking about scripted shows, not reality TV here. Okay, so scripted shows.
Yeah.
There was about 265 scripted shows.
Okay, you could watch over every cable channel, everything out there. Got it.
2011, 265.
Yeah.
In 2018, okay, we're not even in 19, but in 2018.
Last year, full year.
That jumped about 85% to 495.
Choice kills. There are, and I really do believe this. I think we're in a golden age of television. I think you look at.
How are you defining that, though?
The quality of shows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give me an example. Game of Thrones, I think they talked about this. The budget per episode works out to about $15 million an episode for a budget.
That's huge.
It's like a movie every week.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I mean, these are not cheap shows that are out there anymore. We're not talking about the reality TV crap, the stuff that's out there. It's not reality, by the way. It's just amateur actors playing to a camera. We're talking about really good TV shows, whether they're comedies, whether it's something like Game of Thrones. There's a lot of, over all kinds of networks. And because of that, we have become so much more fractured. But I would turn around and say that if you weren't a Seinfeld fan, or you weren't a Sopranos fan, or you weren't a fan of MASH or whatever, you didn't have a hell of a lot of options. You know, nowadays, there's a lot of options.
And the thing with Game of Thrones is that from when it started in 2011 to 2019, its audience has continued to grow.
Yes.
Which is rare.
For over 8 years show.
When you look at most shows, they may start off low and then like peak around year 3 and 4 and then kind of come back down, kind of like the reversed bell type of thing. But Game of Thrones continues to grow. But over those eight years, think about what else has changed as far as how we watch TV.
Okay, I'd have to go back, and I realize like it's difficult when you think in your head. I don't think I had Netflix in 2011. And if I did, I wasn't watching it anywhere near. Netflix was just a bunch of reruns of shows I didn't necessarily care about.
Here, let me prove my point. What channel and at what time does Game of Thrones come on?
I know. It's on one of the I think that I have 8 Showtime channels, 6 of them. I don't know. Some are in English. Sunday night, was it East Coast feed at 6 o'clock? I think I got that down. 6 o'clock is the earliest you could watch it here.
On what channel?
Don't make me come up with a number. I don't know the number on
No, but I mean like...
HBO.
Okay, there we go. So HBO, Sunday...
Game of Thrones.
Okay. Now, if you were going to ask somebody that question, I just kind of go back to what we watch in our house. You know, I've got a 9-year-old, so we watch MasterChef Junior.
Okay.
I think it's on Fox.
You think?
And the only reason why I know that is because they always have like that little bug that sits in the bottom right-hand corner.
Yeah, so you see it?
I have no idea what day and what time it comes on.
No,
I only know that like it had aired the day before because I got the little one right there on Hulu because that's where we watch TV.
Sure.
And when you look at the scripted shows that have now come out, and I mean, they've darn near doubled in the time that Game of Thrones has been on the air. A lot of that is because of the scripted shows that are now on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime. I mean, you're looking at, you know, House of Cards.
House of Cards. It was big.
Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
You're looking at that at Netflix. I just started watching Dead to Me on Hulu. You've got, you know, The Handmaid's Tale.
Think about this. We've blurred the lines. And again, this is why I think we're in a golden age. What's the difference between a movie star and a TV star these days? We've really blurred that line. There used to be a big delineation. TV people weren't on movies. And movie people weren't on TVs. Really? Is Kevin Spacey a TV actor or a movie actor thinking of House of Cards? Which one is he? You know, are some of these other actors out there who have done, who do television programs, who do Netflix or Amazon shows? Billy Bob Thornton, you know, he's one of what? He's got a show on Amazon. It's not a movie, it's a TV show. Is he a TV show or is he a movie star? Do you see what I'm saying? And how these people go back and forth, where the talent pool from writers, producers to actors, you can't tell the difference anymore. And I think that's a good thing.
The other thing that's changed since Game of Thrones first came on the air in 2011 is that you can binge watch shows.
Watch
now.
Them all.
Whereas you don't have to just tune in on Sunday to watch it, but like you can have the entire season posted for you at once. And watch it whenever you want. Hey, you know what? We've had $1,000 winners coming in from Phoenix, Queen Creek, Tempe, even Surprise, and now it is your turn. It's KTIR's Call for Cash. Just text the word cash to 411923. Listen for your name to be called on air weekdays, 745, 445. You could be our next KTIR Calls for Cash winner. Just text the word cash right now to 411923.
The Me Too movement was meant to help women change the environment in the workplace. But maybe one of the unintended consequences is exactly what has changed in the workplace. We'll give you some examples of that and how it's not helping women. Coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
You know, by now, the Me Too or hashtag Me Too movement has, well, it's become pretty common. I think most people are at least aware of it. Maybe your place of work, your business, has instituted some policies or maybe reviewed some of the policies to prevent things like workplace harassment from going on. But there is a, call it a counter-reaction or maybe unintended consequence to the Me Too movement.
60% of male managers say they are uncomfortable interacting with women at work, and that's up 32% from 2018. Workplace interactions that men are nervous about include mentoring, socializing, and having one-on-one meetings with women.
All right, so in the wake of hashtag Me Too, we're seeing now that there have always been a small portion of men that have been nervous working around women. Not because, you know, for any other reason than they don't want to be accused of something that they never did.
Yeah.
We're finding that it's now more than double. We're up to 60% now.
That's serious.
It's absolutely serious. Why is it serious? Because women are already at somewhat of a disadvantage. And, you know, Sheryl Sandberg, the COO of Facebook, describes it best. Take a listen to this.
And the problem is that even before this, women, and especially women of color, do not get the same amount of mentoring as men, which means we're not getting an equal seat at the table. And, you know, it's not enough to not harass us. You need to not ignore us either.
Yeah. I like how she put that at the end. It's not enough not to harass us. All right? Because in all reality, pre-2017, when the whole Harvey Weinstein story broke, there was a lot of harassment going on, and harassment that I think that women just kind of normalized. We talked to one another about it. It's just something
you
kind
of
went through. Okay. And we gave a lot of guys passes on this. You're not going to go tell HR. You're not going to go talk to anybody about it because it's happening to everyone and they're not going to do anything about it anyway. After 2017, that's changed.
But it's swung so far in the other direction now.
What do you mean?
That you went from, let's say, normalizing, you almost say baked in the cake, that there was some forms of harassment that just went on just the way it was over time, too. Now, with these new numbers, male managers saying, we're just going to avoid being in a room alone with women. We're not going to do anything outside the workplace with women. We're going to go so far the other direction that it's going to have, I'll use the term, a similar negative impact on women in the workplace, because they don't have access to that mentoring.
Okay, so you stop harassing. I'm not saying you or male managers just in general, but most men will agree, you know what, women shouldn't be harassed. All right, Craig, we can all unify and rally around that.
Hear, hear.
But now we're just going to ignore them because we're afraid of something that hasn't even happened yet. How do you get around all of this?
If there's a man out there who doesn't want to have a work dinner with a woman, my message is simple. Don't have one with a man.
Yeah.
Group lunches for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, good for the goose, good for the gander. I
think
mean, literally.
It's easy to say, but there is certainly, and maybe it's unique to some industries or some businesses, that there is a social network, a real social network, not online, of, I mean, think about like golf.
Yep.
Or different type of activities where a boss and, let's say, middle managers, junior managers, new employees get to develop some sort of relationship with the boss that may benefit them down the road. How do you change that culture entirely and include women in it when you're hearing from male managers they're afraid to be accused or afraid to put themselves in that position? Because the way I see it is, that while it is much easier to prove sexual harassment, it's easier to prove when a manager, and it can happen female managers towards others, but when a manager is violating policy, is being inappropriate, it's a lot harder to prove you ignored them. It's a lot harder to prove you purposely chose to not do something with them.
But that's the thing. You can't prove
that.
How do
you disprove the negative?
But you can't prove it. What's going to happen is you're not, women aren't going to get promoted as much. And you can't say, well, you know what, the boss overlooked me because he plays golf with him and I can't even get a closed door meeting one-on-one with the boss.
Right, but you understand that with that look, yeah.
Right, but I mean, that's how behind the eight ball women are. You know, you can't prove that. And so it becomes that much more difficult.
60% are afraid to have a one-on-one meeting with a woman.
How do you get promoted without a one-on-one meeting?
No one's ever gotten promoted without a one-on-one meeting. I feel confident in that.
So you see how that
I see the argument.
Becomes so difficult.
Our message is really simple. If we want to stop sexual harassment in the workplace, one of the things that does that most effectively is having more senior women. The only way we're going to get more senior women is if women are getting the same numbers of meetings, the same one-on-one coaching, the same feedback on their work, so that they can get the promotions they deserve.
You see how like it's cyclical?
But that's my point. It seems like we're going to you're chasing your tail to a certain extent. Sorry, pardon the pun, but I'm not sure how you can change entire cultures inside either businesses or industries.
But here's the thing.
Quickly enough to adapt to this.
No, it's changed quickly. Since 2017, it's went from 30% of managers were uncomfortable or nervous to 60%. That's pretty quick.
That's the recoil, right?
Right. But when you talk about like golf outings, for instance, all right.
I wasn't trying to be stereotypical.
I think it is stereotypical.
Right?
And I think that everybody can relate to that.
Okay.
That, you know, the guys would go out on a golf outing. And I know that there are women that do that as well. But, you know, the guys go and they do that. That's always happened. Mm-hmm. That's always happened. But if you're now going to also take away the one-on-one meetings that the women would typically have or the lunch meeting that a woman would particularly have because you're just not going to be alone with a woman for fear of whatever, then you're super putting them behind the eight ball. As if women weren't already struggling because they don't go out on the
climbing
golf outings.
Yeah.
But they still had the lunch meetings and the one-on-ones. You take those away, I mean, how do you succeed at that point in time?
I admit that I don't have the answer to this. I mean, it's not a good thing. I'm not arguing that. But how do you prove that you're not being mentored? Do you see what I'm saying?
I guess it's not a matter of proving one thing or the other. It's a matter of men and males in positions of power still having those meetings, still mentoring, still coaching, still meeting with women because you don't want to leave that strong talent on the sidelines.
Right. But they're going to have to do it voluntarily and because it's the right thing to do, because I don't know how you mandate it, I guess. I can't picture how you would make that happen. That has to be something internally we say, this is the right thing to do and this is how we're going to act. Unlike breaking the law by sexually harassing people is very clear. How do you make this one clear? Wow. Might be one of the reasons why you think we're going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says, don't worry, she's restoring your faith in humanity, and that is coming up next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You know, it's another story about the challenges we have in the education system in the state of Arizona. It is not unusual for a student or a classroom to have a substitute teacher from time to time. That in and of itself is not a story. But we're finding out, not only did more and more classrooms have these, I mean, what do you call them, like permanent substitute teachers, mm-hmm. you know?
They're permanent sub.
Permanent subs. Yeah. But that there is a shortage of substitute teachers to go with our shortage of regular teachers.
Well, you could see how this would play out.
Okay.
There were some 1,500 classrooms at the beginning of this school year that didn't have a permanent teacher, a certified teacher in front of it. Okay, so who do you backfill that with?
Right.
You don't have as many teachers, so you got to backfill with substitute teachers. And if you're taking all the substitute teachers and putting them in permanent positions, who then fills the job of the sub
when
teacher needs to go on leave?
Or
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This is having a direct impact on kids' education, though. There's no two ways around it. I remember, and I'm still surprised by it. Well, I guess I shouldn't be. If you don't pay close attention to what's going on in education in the state of Arizona, you would be excused if you thought, well, didn't teachers go on strike and then they got what they wanted and come back? I still think that's a narrative. I think a lot of people believe that. We're finding that while the 20 by 2020 was a great marketing slogan, it did not fundamentally change teachers' willingness to work in Arizona or desire to stay in Arizona, because even with all of the advancements, Arizona is still not an even average place for a teacher to work.
No, you had some...
But I don't think that's the... I think people thought, well, you guys went on strike, you wanted money. You got money, right? Okay, great. What's the problem?
Well, you had some 600 teachers that quit their job within the first month this year. And you have Superintendent of Public Instruction Kathy yeah. Hoffman talking about the 20 by 2020. Mm-hmm. And with the budget that we hear was worked on over the weekend, supposed to be unveiled today, she wants to make sure that the funding for that 20 by 2020 is still in there.
We absolutely need to make sure that the governor and the legislature stick to their 20 by 2020 plan. And that I've always said that's a great first step. That is dollars going straight to our teachers and our classrooms that are desperately needed.
First step.
Yeah, because
there are
even
a lot of other steps
that
still need to be taken.
I can acknowledge after all of it, and if every nickel goes to where it's supposed to go, teachers in Arizona are still going to finish in the bottom percentiles when it comes to pay. And so this idea that there aren't going to be teachers and that they're going to have permanent subs and that then that means there's going to be a shortage of substitute teachers, none of this fundamentally changes. And 20 by 2020 apparently doesn't fundamentally change any of this either. It's one of the reasons why you might think we're going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says she can restore your faith in humanity.
Well, we're going to keep it within the education realm here for your faith in humanity. We know that student loan debt has more than doubled in the past decade, which makes what Robert Smith did at Morehouse College over the weekend that much more impactful. While delivering a commencement speech to roughly 400 men, Smith said this.
On behalf of the eight generations of my family who have been in this country, we're going to put a little fuel in your bus. This is my class, 2019. And my family is making a grant to eliminate their student loans.
It was kind of funny when
what?
He made that announcement. You could even see one of the teachers up on stage, professors up on stage sitting behind him, like not believing it. Like no.
Did he just say what I think he said?
And it even took like the entire class, you know, sitting there in their foldable seats to acknowledge what was happening. But that's right. He plans to wipe out their student loan debt by pledging $40 million.
Wow.
Now they're still calculating how much those 400 graduates owe. Yeah,
they got a math department.
But he said, you know what? Pay it forward.
Okay.
Do it for the next generation. Do it for someone else. And I think that that can have like a huge ripple effect, not having to start your life with this crippling amount of debt.
It's pretty amazing.
It is.
And the video's
absolutely
powerful.
Absolutely amazing.
Pretty powerful. Really cool thing to watch. Well, Pamela, thank you very much. That story alone, a lot of people sharing that, might be the thing restoring your faith in humanity. We appreciate you spending some time with us today. We looked through that double pane bulletproof glass over there. I've got DJ Tommy Two Tone, super producer Stevie Z, and Bob McClay, who sticks around, continues to deliver the news, the traffic, the weather, everything you need.